Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Lamed Ches. We're at the Mishnah, two lines from the top. In the previous Mishnah, we discussed a person placing an Erev, actually two Erevs, on condition, yet to be determined which one's going to be activated, etc. And now, Mishnah, we're going to discuss a similar situation of a conditional Erev, but in an entirely different context. Says the Mishnah, Blezo Eimer, Yom Tov HaSamach LeShabbos. If Yom Tov falls out next to Shabbos, either preceding Shabbos, meaning on Friday, or following Shabbos, meaning on Sunday, Bein Lefaneo, Bein Acharei, whether before or after Shabbos, and this person needs to do a lot of walking. He'd like to walk on one day, let's say, Yom Tov falls on a Friday, he'd like to walk to the east, and on Shabbos to the west. So you can go ahead and place two Erevs. One Erev to the east of the city, one to the west. Ma'arav Adam Shnei Eruvin. You can place two Erevs. V'omer, and we'll say as follows. Eruvi be'irishon l'mizrach. I'd like that on the first day, so in this case where Yom Tov is on Friday, so on Yom Tov, the Erev which I placed to Mizrach will be activated. Eruvi be'irishon l'mizrach. U'bashenei l'marav. And on the second day, which is Shabbos, I'd like the one that I place to Marav side to be activated. Or in the reverse, Barishon Lamarav, on the first day it should be to Marav, Ubashen and Lamizrach, on the second day to Mizrach. Or, let's say he only places one Erev. And he says as follows, Eruvi Barishon, I'd like that Erev should be activated only for the first day, only for Yom Tov. Ubashen Kibnei Eri, however, on the second day, which is Shabbos, I'd like the Erev to be inactive. I'd like to have the same status as the other residents of my city. I want to be free of any Erev restrictions, which will allow me to walk in any direction. 2,000 amos from the city in any direction. Or, in the reverse, Eruvi b'sheni, my Erev should be activated for the second day, which means Shabbos. Or Barishon k'bnei Eri, on the first day, I'd like to be free of my Erev, inactivated, and I'd like to be like the other members of my city. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, starting from the top of the Amud. Masnisen ma'arav adam shnei Eruvin. Says Rashi, Mo'yitzorech yom Rishon. From the first day, he liked to go leilach lekan to one direction. V'yom sheni lekan the second day in the other direction. Yochel arev lemizrach lamarav erev yom tov rishon. So erev yom tov, so which is Thursday, he's going to place a double erev. V'oimer as follows: Eruv shel mizrach yikne li hayoyim letzorech machar. The one which I placed to the east side should be activated, should take effect today, meaning during Ben Hashmashes tonight, letzorech machar, for the sake of tomorrow, which is Friday yom tov. Veruve shel marav, the one which I placed to marav side, he can leave an ashmashes lamachar, letzorech yom sheni, should be activated on the second ben ashmashes, meaning Friday night, for the sake of Shabbos. How can he do that? How can he split the Yom Tov and Shabbos? Says Rashi, the Kesavar of Lezer, he holds Shabbos for Yom Tov, lav kechad yoyma richaninu. They're not regarded as one continuous day, one continuous entity in kedusha. Elo shtei kedushes. They regard as two separate entities. Every day has its own personal, so to speak, its own unique shvisa. And therefore, every day has its own kinyan, its own activation of Erev, its own Shabbos residence. And therefore, you can have one Shabbos residence for Shabbos and one residence for Yom Tov. And the first Ben Hashmashes, meaning in this case, the Ben Hashmashes which precede the Yom Tov, which is Thursday night, will be Koine Erev for itself. But it's unrelated. It won't carry over to Shabbos, which follows the Yom Tov. So he places this double Erev, one to the east, one to the west. And he says, Eruve Berishon, or B'Sheni K'mneiri. So in the first case, he needed both of them. So he placed one to the east, one to the west, and he chose which one will be activated on which day. In this case, we have a Eruvi Berishon, a B'Sheni K'mneiri. He only places one Erev. And he says, you know what? I'd like it to be activated for the first day. On the second day, I don't need an Erev. I want the Erev to be inactivated. I want to be like the other members of my city. K'loimar. This is what he means to say. V'im lo yo yoroyte leilach ele echad v'natzton. Say we switch things around. If he doesn't really need to go in both directions, only in one direction. B'yoyim Rishon, a B'Sheni ain't tzorech lozes mitchumay. Lo lekan. He only needs to travel on the first day. On the second day, he wants to stay as is. Vein eretz lahafsid. He doesn't want to lose anything. He doesn't want to be restricted because the Erev, although it adds benefit, extends his boundaries to the direction of the Erev, but you realize that you're losing on the other side of the city because the Erev becomes your makom shvisa. It's as though it's your home. and you only can go from there 2,000 any direction, but you can no longer go on the other side of the city. He doesn't want to have that disadvantage. He doesn't want to lose his tchum in either direction. So this is what he should say. So he places one Erev in the direction he'd like to walk on the first day. And says as follows. This Erev that I'm placing now, which is Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, should be activated for the sake of tomorrow for Friday. However, on Shabbos, I'll be like everybody else in the city, who have not established an Erev for themselves. Or in the reverse. Or if you'd like to go on the second day and on the first day, so you should reverse things. Yoimar should say, this Erev that I'm placing now at the Erev site should take effect during the Ben HaShemashes of tomorrow, Friday night, for the sake of Shabbos. And on Friday, which is the Yom Tov, let me be like everybody else. I don't want to be affected by this Erev. So this Erev should be inactive on the first day and activated specifically for the second day. So this is whose Shita? This is Rabbi Elazar's Shita, who holds Shabbos of Yom Tov is not considered to be Chad Yoyma Richta, one continuous day, one continuous Kedusha. They each one have their own separate entity and separate domain, and therefore one can split things amongst the two. Continues the Mishnah. No, you cannot do that. They regard Shabbos and Yom Tov perhaps like one Kedusha. Therefore, you can't split the two. Either he makes one Erev for both days in the same direction, or none at all. Or he decides to make one Erev for both days in the same direction, or none at all. Which seems to be a repetition. The Gemara will discuss this. Continues the Mishnah, Ketzad Yaseh. So how is he meant to proceed? For instance, in the case where you have Yom Tov, which precedes Shabbos, how is he going to establish his Erev? Meilicha Berishon. So he brings the food, the Erev material, out to the Erev site for the sake of the first day for Yom Tov. Umach Shecholof, and he waits there. So he brings the Erev Yom Tov, he waits until nightfall, when the Erev takes effect. So after Ben HaShemashes, it's dark. Now he can go home. He can take the Erev and go back home. V'noit lo yubali, picks up the Erev and goes back home. Because once the Erev has been activated, the activation process, the effect lasts throughout the entire Yom Tov. So you can bring back the food back home. But Sheni, on the next day, this is already Friday, this is Yom Tov. Now he'd like to prepare an Erev for Shabbos. So he brings the food back with him. Mach shechalav v'oichloi. So he brings the food back, waits until it gets dark, and eats it on site. He can't bring it home because it's Shabbos. And then gets back home. V'nimtza, so as a result of this process, he's all gain. Mishtaker b'ali chasai. He gains that. Now he's allowed to walk. He's allowed to walk on Yom Tov, and walk on Shabbos, and mishtaker b'eruvai. And he actually got a chance to eat his air. So he gained on all ends. What happens if Nechal Berishon, let's say, somehow he lost his Erev, it was eaten up on the first day, Erev L'Rishon, fine, the Erev is still effective for the first day, V'ein Erev L'Sheni, but is no longer effective for the second day. But there's no Erev for the second day. So we see from here, Sezer Belezer, Amar Belezer, apparently, you agree with me. Amar Belezer, Moidim Atem Li Shem Shtei Kedushes. The fact that you just told me, that the Erev is not present, if the meal was eaten before the Ben HaShemash of the second day, it can no longer be applied for that second day. Why? Apparently, the second day, in this case it's Shabbos, is not connected to the first day. And therefore, you need to redo that Erev for Shabbos as well. Because otherwise, meaning, according to your approach of things, that Shabbos and Yom Tov regarded as one continuous day, one continuous entity, we know that if an Erev was already established at the beginning of Shabbos, even if the Erev disappeared sometime throughout Shabbos, the Heter still carries on. So if Shabbos and Yom Tov continue one continuous Shvisa, one continuous entity, so since the Erev has been activated at the beginning of the first day, in this case it's Yom Tov, let it carry over to Shabbos as well. Why does the Mishnah say, why do you say that an Erev must be present, physically present during the Ben HaShemashes of the second day as well? Apparently you agree to me that Shabbos and Yom Tov are regarded as two separate Kedushas. So why don't you agree to me when it comes to splitting the Erev? Why can't I make one Erev for Shabbos, one Erev for Yom Tov, in either direction? What's the difference? The Gemara will soon address this. Continues the Gemara. So Rav Leza said, the Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered to be Shtei Kedushas, which allows him to split the days. Whereas Rav Chacham say, no, you can't do that. And the Chacham say, either you're going to be Ma'arev L'Ruach Achas, or none at all. Either you're going to do one Erev for both days, or none at all. Why that repetition? L'ruach achas, mind you, when they said you have a choice, either do it in one direction, or what do they mean to say? L'shnei yomim, one direction for both days. Then the next part of the statement was, either you do it 2 days in a row, 2 days as one, l'shnei yomim, mind you, what do they mean? L'ruach achas, meaning for both days in the same direction. Haynuka ma'isa, this is an exact repetition of this first portion of their statement. Why this repetition? Says the Gemara, this is what they meant to tell him. They meant to prove their point. Do you not agree? One certainly can't decide, well, I have one day, Shabbos. I'm going to split the day into two. First portion of the day, I'd like to go Litzafan, to the north. Second portion of the day, to Dorim. You can't do that. You can't place an Erev in two directions. For the sake of one day is certainly one Kedusha. So that's what the Chacham asked Rav Leizer. Do you not agree, Yatamoida, that one cannot do that? Omer lehen, Aval. So Aval is a lotion of yes, emes. Rashi brings the Pasuk, Aval sorry shtecha, Hashem told Avram, that certainly your sorry your wife, she did laugh, and the Targum says, Kushta, truthfully. So Aval means yes, truthfully. So this is what the Chachamim meant. They began by challenging Rav Leizer. Do you not agree that when it comes to one day, let's agree about that, one day only, there's only a Shabbos, certainly it needs to be done, L'ruach Achas, you can only do it in one direction. So that's what they began to say, L'ruach Achas, meaning in one day, certainly you can only do it in one direction. Amar lahen Aval, yes, certainly. So they responded, okay, based on that, if you agree on that, K'shem she'im ma'arv li'yom echad, just as you can't be ma'arev. She'ein ma'arev liyom echad. When it comes to one day, you can't be ma'arev. Chetz letzof mechetz letorayim. So based on that, kach, likewise, ein ma'arev l'shnei yomim, yom echad l'mizrael mechad l'ma'arev. Likewise, when it comes to the Yom Tov and the Shabbos, who are adjacent to each other, one cannot split the two and decide, well, on one day I'd like to walk to Mizrael, another day to ma'arev. So this was the lengthiness of their response. So if we take a look at the Lashon HaMishnah, which is about 8 lines from the top, we'll see it clearly. Meaning, you agree when it comes to one day, you can't split the two, you need to go in one direction, or none at all. Likewise, when it comes to these 2 days, Shabbos and Yom Tov, he also needs to make one unified Erev for both days, or none at all. Says the Gemara down at the bottom, Rabbi Lezer responds to them, how could you compare? When it's one day, which you'd like to split, you can't do that. It's one entity, it's one Shavis, it's one Kedusha. Certainly, I agree. That can't be done. However, when it comes to the Shabbos and the Yom Tov, who are adjacent to each other, base Kedushas. They're considered to be two entities, two Kedushas. Why can you not make a double Erev? Amar Rabbi Elazar. So now it's Rabbi Elazar's turn to challenge the Chachamim. Yatamoide, do you not agree in the following case? Shem Erev Baraglav Yom Rishon. If a person decided to actually physically, Baragla means with his feet, he went out to the Erev site to establish the Mokhan Shvisa. In that case, he doesn't need to have any food because he's personally there. There's no better Shvisa than being present at the Mokhan Shvisa. Okay, so let's say on the first day, he went out physically to the Erev site. We're speaking about, just an example, we have Yom Tov on Friday. So on Thursday, he goes to the Erev site to establish the Erev for Thursday. Ma'arev Baraglav Yom Sheni. If he wants to have an Erev for the following day as well, for Shabbos, he needs to personally go out and make an Erev. Nechal Eruva B'Yom Rishon. Let's say he used some food and he placed it at the Erev site and it was consumed. It's gone. Ein Yotz'ola B'Yom Sheni. He cannot use that Erev material for the second day. It's no longer present, no longer active. Is that the case? Omer lo Aval. So they responded, sure, of course. You need to make sure that the Erev material is actually present at the Erev site during that second Ben HaShemashos, so that it's activated for Shabbos as well. Or if he personally goes out to the Erev site prior to that second Ben HaShemashos, he must ensure that there's an Erev for the second day as well, because the Erev of the first day doesn't automatically carry over for the second day. Oh, says Rav Elazar. Now, if you agree regarding this, doesn't that prove my point? Halai beis kedushas hein. So this proves, it's apparent from this halacha, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are regarded as two kedushas, because otherwise, why would you need to ensure that there's an Erev there for the second day as well? Just as when you place an Erev, ben hashmashes of your standard, typical Shabbos, and after ben hashmashes, the Erev disappears. That heter is still prevalent throughout the entire Shabbos. We say Shabbos kiven shehutra utra. So why is this case different? Why, in this case, if he placed the Erev for the sake of Yom Tov, and then sometime during Yom Tov it disappeared, he can't use that Erev for Shabbos. According to you, it's one Kedusha, it's like one day. So that proves my point, that it's two Kedushas. And therefore, it should allow him to go split the 2 days. It can go one day to Mizrach, one day to Marv. So what are the Rabbanon going to respond? The Rabbanon, they respond as follows. Sfuki mazabkalu. They're uncertain. V'ha'ch l'chumra. They're not sure how to treat the Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore, in either case, they go l'chumra. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 8 lines from the bottom. V'rabbanon mazabkalu. B'Shabbos and Yom Tov. I'kedusha achas ninu. Ishtei kedushas. They're unsure how to treat it. Do we treat it like one continuous entity or two kedushas? And therefore, they always go l'chumra. They take a stringent approach. V'ad yoch l'chumra. So on the one hand, they say l'chumra with regards to ein yoch la'arev shtei ruchas. He cannot go ahead and for Yom Tov walk to the east, for Shabbos walk to the west. Do machad kedushi. Perhaps it's considered to be one kedusha. So that's not allowed. So when it comes to this halacha, they adopt the view that perhaps it's one kedusha. When it comes to the other halacha, v'ad l'chumra, they also adopt the stringent approach that they consider to be like two separate kedushas. With regards to the halacha of di'i nechal barishon, if the Erev was consumed on the first day and is no longer physically present during the second Ben HaShemashos, di'i Erev l'sheni, we don't consider it to be a proper Erev for the second day. Why? Dilma beis kedusha, saying perhaps Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered to be two kedushas, and therefore each one requires its own Erev. It doesn't automatically carry over from one to the other. So Blood the holds with certainty Shabbos and Yom Tov are two kedushas, whereas the Rabbanon are uncertain. Omer Blazer. Now it's the Rabbanon's turn to respond to Blazer. Yatamai, do you not agree regarding the following halach? She'ein ma'arvim betchila miyotol l'Shabbos. You can't initiate an Erev on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. Meaning, this whole discussion was where he prepared an Erev before Yom Tov. So Yom Tov was Friday, which preceded Shabbos. He prepared an Erev on Thursday. The question is, can he prepare a double Erev? One for Friday, one for Shabbos, or not? But all agree that he can't initiate, he can't inaugurate an Erev on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. If he hadn't yet prepared the Shabbos Erev before Yom Tov, he can't go out and say, well, today is Friday, I'd like to walk out of the boundary on Shabbos, I'm going to go ahead and prepare an Erev now for the sake of Shabbos. He can't do that. Is that the case? Do you not agree? Amarlan Aval? So Blazer responded, certainly I agree. Say the Rabbanon Halai. Apparently this proves Kedusha Achasi, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are one entity. Therefore he can't go ahead and begin somewhere in the middle of a single entity. That explains why he cannot initiate an Erev on Yom Tov itself. Rabbi Blazer, he responds, no. The reason why he can't do that is unrelated to our question. The reason why he can't do that on account of the Isra of Achana. One cannot prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. It has nothing to do with one Kedusha, two Kedushas. Since he's going ahead on Yom Tov and preparing his Erev for Shabbos, that can't be done. So even if Yom Tov and Shabbos are two separate entities, and technically speaking, he can go ahead and have the Erev for Shabbos even though it wasn't there for Yom Tov. But practically speaking, he can't do it because of the Isra of Achana. So in summary, we learned about a Yom Tov, which is Samach Shabbos, so either it precedes or follows Shabbos. Rav Lezer says, the Yom Tov of the Shabbos are regarded as Shtei Kedushas. Therefore, one can certainly place two Erevs, one for Shabbos, one for Yom Tov. And let's say he decides to use some bread for the first Erev, and it gets consumed. It's Nechal on the first day, and it's not around. Doing the Ben HaShemashas of that second day doesn't work, because it doesn't automatically carry over to the second day, because the first and the second are two separate entities. Chacham adopt a Suffolk approach to things, and therefore they go to Chumrah. On the one hand, they say, perhaps Shabbos and Yotov are considered to be one entity, and therefore one can't split them, just as one can't split one day into two. On the other hand, they say, perhaps Shabbos and Yotov are considered to be two entities, and therefore if the Erev was consumed on the first day and is no longer present at the site during the Ben HaShemashas of that second day, it doesn't automatically carry over, and he does not have an Erev for his second day. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Erev V'Raglav B'Yom Rishon, if he decided to go out to the Erev site for the first day, Ma'arev V'Raglav B'Yom Sheni, he can go ahead, and he needs to actually go ahead and be present at the Erev site for the second day as well, because the Erev doesn't automatically carry over to the second day. Nechal Eruv B'Yom Rishon, if he used some bread as Erev material for the first day and it was consumed during that first day, Ein Yoytzel B'Yom Sheni, he can no longer use that Erev for the second day, he cannot travel outside the Tchum. Divrei Rebbe. Let's take a look at Rashi on the bottom line. Ein Yoytzel B'Yom Sheni, says Rashi, V'Arehiu K'Vnei Iroi. He has the same status as the other members of the city. He has no Erev. Why? Devadai Shtei Kedusha Sein, V'Ein Alav Chashash Sofik. We certainly consider the 2 days of Shabbos and Yontov as two separate entities, and therefore, since the Erev is no longer present during the Ben HaShemashas of that second day, he has no Erev for the second day, and he has a din like everybody else in the city, and he can walk 2,000 amah in any direction stretching from that city. So Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Lezer, that Shabbos and Yontov are certainly considered like two Kedushas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harei Yezeh Chamar Gamol. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not sure whether Shabbos and Yontov are two Kedushas or one, and therefore, this person who put down his Erev on the first day, let's say it was a Yom Tov, on a Friday, and then come Friday night, the food wasn't there any longer. I'm not sure how to consider him, how to regard him. Do we say perhaps that Shabbos and Yontov are one Kedusha, and since the Erev was activated at the onset of this one continuous two-day entity, it applies to Shabbos as well, therefore his tchum is based on the Erev, that becomes his place of residence. Or perhaps we consider Shabbos and Yontov as two separate entities, in which case the Erev from Friday doesn't automatically apply to Shabbos. In this case, when there's no Erev Friday night, he has no Erev for Shabbos. And therefore, where is his Makam Shvisa? It's in the city like everybody else. So it's a Suffolk. Hareza Chamor Gamel. It's like a person who's leading a donkey in front with a camel lagging behind. He's stuck in between the fast-moving donkey, the slow-moving camel behind, and he's in limbo. Explains Rashi, this person is in limbo. He's stuck between the tchum of his home, of his city, and the tchum of his Erev. So for instance, if this was his home, and he placed the Erev 2,000 amas away, now, there's a chance that the Erev is effective for Shabbos, in which case this becomes the Erev becomes his place of residence, which allows him to walk 2,000 amas past the Erev, 2,000 amas back home, or perhaps the Erev is not active for Shabbos, in which case it's the home, it's the city that is considered to be his Makom Shvisa, which allows him to walk on the other direction, away from the Erev 2,000 amas, and also towards the Erev 2,000 amas. So one thing is for sure, he can do this area between the Erev and the home. He's certainly allowed to walk. Either way, whether the home is the Makom Shvisa, he's allowed to walk in the direction of the Erev. Whether the Erev becomes his Makom Shvisa, he can walk back in the direction of the home. But in any other direction, meaning past the Erev, or past the home in the other direction, he can't, because we're unsure as to the exact placement and location of his Makom Shvisa. That's the Chamor Gamel. We have a Suffolk. They say, with certainty, we consider Shabbos and Yontov to be one Kedusha. Therefore, he went out to the Erev location. He went personally out there to establish the Makom Shvisa. There's no need for him to do it again. He doesn't need to do that again for the second day. Or for instance, he used some bread and it was consumed, it was eaten up after the Ben HaShemashas of that first day, Yotel B'Sheni, He's allowed to go and rely on that Erev, even for the second, even though at the point of Ben Hashmashes of the second day, there was no Erev present. Because according to them, at this point in the Gemara, Shabbos and Yantav are one continuous entity, and therefore the Erev, which was activated for the first day, applies for the second day as well. So at this point in the Gemara, we have three shittas. We seem to have three shittas. We have Rebbe, who holds that Shabbos and Yantav avadai two kedushas. He's like Rebbe Lezer. We have Rebbe Yehuda, who says Safek. So that's adopting the Chachamim's approach. And we have these two Matanoim, who seem to hold that with certainty Shabbos and Yantav are considered to be one kedusha, without any Safek. Amar Rav Halacha Kedalet Zekenim Halolu V'alibud Rebbe Lezer. The Halacha follows these four Zekenim, who hold like Rebbe Lezer, the Amar Beis Kedusha saying, who are these four Zekenim? Veilein Dal Zekenim. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan ben Breuka, which are actually these two Tanaim that we just mentioned, who actually seem to say that it's one Kedusha, not like Rebbe Lezer. We'll get to that in a moment. So these are two on the list. We have another two. Rebbe Lezer, Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda Stimta. Why was he called Stimta? Rashi explains that's a term applied to a Tana who Rebbe who edited the Mishnahs, would bring his opinion anonymously. Bring his opinion many times anonymously without attributing to him. It was Stam, so this way we follow it without any question, and the Halacha follows that Shita. So that's why he's called Stimta. In any case, we have these four Tanoim on our list who concur with Rebbe Lezer. Shimon Leo, Rishwal Brechman Brechman Breika, Lezer Shimon, Rebbe Yehuda. We could have some a different version of the list. Chad Minayu, Rebbe Lezer. One of them was actually Rebbe Lezer, or Mapik, and that substitutes Rabbi Yisrael Stimto. Okay, so we have a list of four Tanoim who are compatible with Rebbe Lezer Shita, Shabbos and Yontav, two Kedushas. Says them in 1 second. How does this work? How does this fit with our Brice that we just mentioned? Which seems to indicate otherwise. V'har Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Bnoi, Obar, Rabbi Yochanan Broik, Ivcha Shaminelu. We heard that they hold just the opposite. They actually hold that it's one condition. Not like Rabbi Lezer holds two conditions. Eifach, let's switch things around. Meaning, let's rearrange the Brisa there. Certainly, they hold that it's two conditions. And therefore, they belong on this list. Yach, if that's the case, Hainu Rebbe. So, if they, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, both hold that Shabbos and Yontav are two conditions like Rabbi Lezer, so they're actually mirroring Rebbe's opinion. The Brisa seems to bring them as a machlokes. The Brisa initiates with Shitas Rebbe, holds that is two kedushas, and then proceeds with Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rishmol, who seem to be disagreeing with Rebbe. Now, if they hold exactly like Rebbe as two kedushas, so why is the Brisa bringing it as a conflicting opinion? Says Zmo Yochi Hani Rebbe. This is exactly what Rebbe said. Eima v'cheina Rav Shimon Gamliel v'chulu. Let's reword that Brisa. It wasn't coming as a conflicting shita, rather v'chein. They're actually coming to support Rebbe Shita. Indeed, they also hold Shabbos and Yontav are two kedushas like Rebbe Lezer. V'lich shonami Rebbe. So why don't we add Rebbe to the list? We had a list of Rav said we have a list of four Tanoim hold like Rebbe Lezer. What happened to Rebbe, who also holds like Rebbe Lezer? He brings that as two kedushas. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Tanila v'loy Savala. Although he taught it, but he didn't personally hold that shita. Therefore, it doesn't belong on the list. Rabbanan Nami, if so, these other, Rab Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, they also perhaps taught it, they taught it, v'loy savri lo, perhaps they didn't hold of it. So how do we know that they belong on that list? Rav Gemar Gamri lo, Rav had a tradition from his Rebbeim, these four Zekanim listed on the list, hold Rebbe Lezer, that Shtei Kedushas, but Rebbe, although he taught it, he doesn't personally hold of that sheet. Ki nachnaf shi Rav Huna, when Rav Huna passed away, either Rav Chizda came into the Beis Medrash, Lemir ma de Rav adrav, to ask a contradiction from one Rav on the other. Mi yama Rav aloch kredal zekenim. Holy Rav Lezer, do amar shtei kedusha saying, is that so that Rav indeed stated that the aloch kredal zekenim, who are like Rav Lezer, the Shabbos and Yontav are considered to be two separate entities? Is that the case? We seem to have a contradiction from a different Rav, which indicates that Shabbos and Yontav are considered to be one continuous entity. But itma, we learned Shabbos v'yontav. If you have a Shabbos next to a yontav, Rav Amar no de b'zeh asur b'zeh. We know that an egg which was born, which was laid on yontav, beitah shenol de b'yontav, is asur. Now, let's say it was laid on Shabbos, which was preceding Yom Tov, or a Yom Tov preceding Shabbos. No lebeze, asura beze. It cannot be eaten on the next day either. Apparently because we consider them to be one entity. There were many reasons why the Beitzah is asur, which is explained in the beginning of the Gemara Beitzah, Seches Beitzah, many reasons. At least three reasons I can remember, either because of Muktzah, Noilad, it's a new entity, or other reasons. We compare it to juice, or compare it to fruit picked from a tree, which we'll actually discuss in the next plot. In any case, whatever the reason is, let's say it's Muktzah. So since it was created on Yom Tov, it can't be eaten on that day. But on the following day, it should be Mutter. Nevertheless, Rav tells us, we have a Shabbos next to a Yom Tov. When it was laid on one day, it can't be eaten on the next day. It must be, the reason is because Shabbos and Yom Tov are regarded as one entity. So how does this fit with Rav, who tells us, Halacha follows the opinion that Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered two separate entities when it comes to Erev. Amar Rava also Mishmachana. Indeed, Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered two separate entities. The reason why one cannot eat that egg if it was born late on Shabbos, he can't eat it tomorrow on Yom Tov, it's on account of another halacha of Hachana. The Sani has been written in the Brice. V'hoya v'yamashishi v'echinu. This is the pasuk describing the month. So on the sixth day of the week, on Friday, v'echinu, they should prepare. And the pasuk describes the double portion of man that fell. They're meant to prepare on Friday for the sake of Shabbos. So we learn from here that the Suda, the meal of Shabbos, and likewise Yom Tov, which is also called Shabbos, Shabbos Shabbosin, so the meal of Shabbos and Yom Tov, so explains Rashi in Maseches Beitzah, is Choshev. We see that the Torah attributes special significance to it. It needs to be prepared on a weekday in order to be permissible on the following Shabbos or Yom Tov. And this is what we learn from this pasuk. Choyl Mechon LeShabbos. Only a weekday can prepare Shabbos food. V'choyl Mechon LeYom Tov, or prepare Yom Tov food. V'ein Yom Tov Mechon LeShabbos. But Yom Tov cannot prepare the Shabbos food. V'ein Shabbos, or a Shabbos which precedes Yom Tov, it cannot prepare tomorrow's food. V'ein Shabbos Mechon LeYom Tov. Therefore, in this case where you had, for instance, the Shabbos and then the Yom Tov, and the egg was laid on Shabbos, that's considered as though the Shabbos is preparing tomorrow's food. Therefore, you can't eat it on Yom Tov. So that's the reason for that halacha. It's unrelated with the question of one kedusha, two kedushas, even if there are two kedushas. But ultimately speaking, this thing was prepared on a Shabbos for the sake of tomorrow, which is Yom Tov, and therefore, it's unsuitable. Incidentally, Tosfos says, from this Gemara, the Gemara learns from the pasuk of not only do you need to prepare on the choil, on the weekday for Shabbos, same halacha applies to Yom Tov. Apparently the Gemara is assuming that this pasuk is a reference to Erev Yom Tov as well. So on Erev Yom Tov, you want to prepare for Yom Tov. And the pasuk is describing the Lechem Mishnah, the double portion of man that fell. Apparently, the Gemara holds that a double portion of man fell on Erev Yom Tov as well, just as it fell on Erev Shabbos. And it actually brings that there are different Midrashim who discuss it, as a machlekes, whether or not that actually occurred. And actually, Tosfos in Pesachim, in Arab Pesachim, says that based on this opinion, that we assume that even on Yom Tov, there was Lecha Mishnah, meaning on Erev Yom Tov, double portion of man fell in preparation of Yom Tov. Based on this, we hold that during a Yom Tov meal, we went to use Lecha Mishnah, the double loaf of bread, which is meant to commemorate the Lecha Mishnah fell, double portion that fell on Erev Shabbos, so we meant to do this on Yom Tov as well, just as we do on Erev Shabbos. Because just as on Shabbos, we had that nace of the double portion on Erev Shabbos, likewise on Yom Tov. Okay, Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye responds to Rabba. So you hold that there's a problem of Hachana. If that's the case, how are we going to understand the following mission? El Hadisnan, Keitza Duwais. So for instance, we have Yom Tov, which precedes Shabbos. So Yom Tov is Friday. How is he meant to go about establishing the Erev for Yom Tov and for Shabbos? Says the Mishnah, case of the ways, Malicha Barishan, he brings his food out to the Erev site on the first day. Umach Shecholav waits it out throughout the Benesh Moshes until nightfall. V'noitloi brings the Erev back home. Ubalai comes back home. Bisheni, on the second day, he repeats. Mach Shecholav, he brings the Erev out to the site, now it's for the sake of Shabbos. And he eats it on site. He can't carry it home anymore because it's already Shabbos. Ubalay and comes back home. Says Abaye, if there's an Issa Hachana, how can he go ahead and create an Erev on Yonta for Shabbos? Hakom Mechem Yonta for Shabbos. Isn't he preparing something on Yontif for the sake of Shabbos? Because he's creating an Erev on Yontif. He's going out to the site, bringing his bread out there, and activating an Erev. He's preparing an Erev for the sake of Shabbos. What happened to Achana? Amalei Rabba. So Rabba responded, there's no concern here. Because the actual activation of that Erev is taking place when? It's actually going to take place, not on Yontif, not on Friday. It's going to be activated at the onset of the actual Shabbos. We know Ben Hashmashes is the time when the Erev takes effect. But which portion of the Ben Hashmashes? Which portion of that twilight period, that transitional period between Friday and Shabbos? Is it the first portion of that Ben Hashmashes, which is the transition period between Friday and the twilight zone, which indeed is Friday? Or is it the second portion of Ben Hashmashes, where the Ben Hashmashes transitions into Shabbos, when the Erev takes place? Says Rava, it's actually that second portion, the second phase of Ben Hashmashes, when the Erev is activated, in which case it's already Shabbos. So it's not Yontif, it's not Friday that's activating an Erev for Shabbos. Rather, Shabbos in itself is accomplishing its own Erev. There's no concern about Chana. Amalei Rava, Misavas, do you think Soif Hayom Kain Erev, it's the end portion of Friday which activates the Erev? No, Tchilas Hayom Kain Erev, it's the first portion of Shabbos which activates the Erev. The Shabbos Mechinel Atzma, and Shabbos is preparing for itself. There's no concern whatsoever. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that the Erev is activated when? At the second phase of the Ben Hashmashes, when it transitions into nighttime, into Shabbos. Elam Yat, if that's the case, Yairo Belogin. Why can't we use the Login? This was what we mentioned earlier. The pitcher, which had the wine, which is currently Usser, it's Maserishan, and it's going to transition into Truma when? Shatershach, at nightfall. And I'd like to use that for his Erev. The Erev which is meant to be affected, take effect, Ben Hashmashes as well. So we learned earlier, a couple of blad ago, they can't do that. Why? Because the Erev which takes effect during Ben Hashmashes precedes nightfall. So up until nightfall, this wine is Aser. It's not a Suda Ru'uya. Therefore, it can't be used for the Erev. Now, if you tell me that the Erev is activated when? The second phase of Ben Hashmashes. When the Ben Hashmashes transitions into nighttime, that's the very moment that this wine becomes mutter. It turns into truma. So why can't he use this login for his Erev? Elamata Yavro Belogin. Says the Gemara, Be'inon Su'uda Haru'uyim Ba'id Yom Belek. You know why he can't do that? It's for the following reason. Because, although you're right, it's going to happen at the very same moment. The Erev is going to take effect at the very, very same moment that the Truma will arrive. But we don't know. We can't pinpoint that precise moment when it's going to take place. Sometime during the Ben Hashmashes. But since he can't practically point a finger and say, well, now, it's a point of activation, now, it's Mutar B'Achila, he must wait until after Ben Hashmashes, which is this uncertain period. So practically speaking, he has no access to this food at that moment of activation. Therefore, the only way he can use this Erev is if the food is actually suitable, Mutar B'Achila, before Ben Hashmashes, in Boed Yoyim, which case, he can eat it with certainty. So, the reason why it doesn't work there is unrelated to our discussion. It's due to an unrelated concern, since it's not really practically edible at the moment of activation. Be'ina Suda Ru'uyim Boed Yoyim needs to be edible from daytime, but like on here, that doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, okay, now, if you need to be Ru'uyim Boed Yoyim, now we have another kash. Elo, hodas nan. How are we going to understand the following Mishnah? This is our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yom Tov HaSamach LaShabbos. When Yom Tov falls out next to Shabbos, Ben Milfoneh, whether preceding Shabbos, Ben Milachareh, whether after Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar holds, he can make two Erevs, because Yom Tov HaShabbos are two entities. Ma'arev Adam Shnei Eruvin, he can make two Erevs. The Gemara assumes as follows, that, let's say for example, you have Yom Tov on Friday, he's going to place one Erev in one direction, to the east of the city, for Friday, 2,000 amos away from that city. So if he's living here in the city, he places the Erev to the east, 2,000 amos to the east of the city, which allows him to walk an additional 2,000 amos, and also back to the city, 2,000 amos. So that's for the first day for Yom Tov. For the second day, he prepared another Erev, 2,000 amos to the west of the city, which allows him to walk another 2,000 amos from there, because that's his residence, and back to the city, including the city. Says the Gemara, but if we say that the Suda needs to be roim by joy, when you establish that Erev, it needs to be edible to you, it needs to be practically accessible, how do you have it in this case? We don't meet this requirement here, because what happens on that first day, when he had the Erev to the east, that becomes his Makom Shvisa. He can only walk 2,000 amos past the Erev, and also 2,000 amos past back to the city. But he cannot access his Erev material, which is situated 2,000 amos the other way. So it's not Roim by Diyayim. How can that Erev be activated for Shabbos if it's not accessible on Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, Habainan, don't we require a Suda Roim by Diyayim? But Lekin, we don't have it here. Says the Gemara, actually, we're not speaking on a case where he placed the Erev 2,000 amos away from the city. Me, Sabbos, do you think the Manach Le'Besef Alpayim Am Lekan? Or Besef Alpayim Am Lekan, do you think that he placed the Erev at a distance of 2,000 amos in each direction? Then you would have a problem. Actually, Loi, that wasn't the case. He placed it closer to the city. The Manach Le'Besef Elef Am Lekan. Or Besef Elef Am Lekan. What happened was that the Erev to the east was placed only at a distance of 1,000 amos from the city, which allowed him to walk an additional 2,000 amos from there, but also back to the city, and over another 1,000 amos to the place, the location where he placed the second Erev. So he has full access to that second Erev, even on the first day. It's considered to be Roim by Yom without any concern. Says the Gemara, okay, we addressed that. Let's get back to the concept of Hachana. Rabbi says, you cannot prepare, you cannot create something on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos that involves Hachana. If so, how are we going to understand the following halach? Elohom Adam Rav Yudah. Rav Yudah tells us the name of Rebraisa. So he's going with Shittas Rav Elazar again, that Shabbos and Yom Tov have two entities, and therefore, even if he established an Erev for the first Ben HaShemashis, for instance, we have the Yom Tov on Friday, so it's activated for Friday, but it won't automatically carry over to Shabbos. He must ensure there's an Erev in place for Shabbos as well, because they're two separate entities. Ha'adam Rav Yudah, Erev Baragav Yom Rishon, because Ma'arev with his raglaim, with his feet, meaning he personally went out to the Erev site for the first day. Ma'arev Baragav Yom Sheni, to do the same thing for the second day. Erev Pas B'Yom Rishon, or if he used bread for the first day, Ma'arev Pas B'Yom Sheni, he'll go ahead and make sure, reuse the bread for the second day as well, make sure it's present at the Erev site. Says the Gemara, okay, let's analyze it. The activation of the Erev is no concern. We discussed that earlier. That happens when it actually enters Shabbos. So Shabbos is actually activating the Erev for itself. There's no concern about that. Now what about the preparation of the Erev material? So, if he reuses the same bread he used yesterday, there's no concern whatsoever, because he doesn't have to designate it anew. He doesn't have to say, this is my Erev bread, so he's not really creating anything on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. But, in the case where he's physically going to the Erev site, Ma'arev Beragel, the Gemara at this point figures, in order for that to happen, in order for it to be valid, he needs to actually express his intention. He has to say, Shvisasi Bim Kaimi, I'm establishing my shvisa, my residence, right here where I'm standing. Otherwise, it doesn't work. In that case, he's designating, he's establishing, he's creating something on Yom Tov for the sake of tomorrow, for the sake of Shabbos. Because he's going out to the site at the end of Yom Tov, right, at Friday afternoon. And right before Ben HaShemashis, he needs to say, this is my Erev site, this is my Makom Shvisa. So he's creating something for Shabbos on Yom Tov. That's Hachana. How could he do that? How can he prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Malay, the rabbi responded, there's no concern. Me, Sabbos, the Ozel Vamamidi, do you think that he needs to go out there and actually express an intention and verbalize it? In which case, it would be considered Hachana. No, that's not what he needs to do. The Ozel, he goes out, Vishasik Vyasiv. He sits down quietly. Vishasik, he just remains silent, Vyasiv, and he sits down. There's no need for him to verbalize it, to express his intention. The mere fact that he's personally present there, nothing better than that. That becomes his place of residence. So since he's not verbalizing and expressing and designating it, that's not considered to be a creation. He's not fashioning something. And that's not called achana. Says the Gemara, is that okay just to go out and remain silent? Come on, whose sheet are we following? Rabbeinu ben Nuri? The Amar who says, Cheftzei hefker kone shvisa, ownerless objects acquire shvisa. Let's take a look at Rashi to understand this comparison. Four lines from the bottom. Come on, it's you in the other parak. Ka'amar Rabbi Yechon says, the Yoshein, a person who is asleep during Ben HaShemashah, sitting out in the wilderness, and he's asleep, he's unaware, he's not cognizant of the fact that it's Ben HaShemashah and it's time to acquire your Shabbos residence, he's sleeping. Rabbi Yechon says, Koine Shvisasai, he acquires Makom Shvisa, that becomes his Shabbos residence, he's allowed to walk from there 2,000 Amah radius. Even though he can compare it to an ownerless object. So you have a chefetz of hefker, who nobody granted shvisa, meaning something which belongs to a person, his own possessions certainly have the shvisa of the person. That can be transported throughout the boundary that the person can walk. What happens to a chefetz which is hefker? There's nobody giving it shvisa. Rabbi Yechon holds, even the chefetz of hefker acquires shvisa. Where it is, ben hashmashah, that becomes its mokim for Shabbos and can be transported 2,000 amah radius. A person who is sleeping likewise has the same din. It's regarded similar to a chefetz hefker, even though he's unaware. He's not cognizant, he's not conscious of what's happening. He gets shvisa where he is. Says the Gemara, apparently we're following shvisa Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. If you tell me that a person could simply go out to the mokim shvisa and not express his intention, it seems like we're following that shita of Rabbi Yechon and doesn't need that intent to be kind of shvisa. Because according to the Rabbanon, who require a person to be awake and aware of what's going on in order to acquire shvisa, it would appear that in order for a person to acquire shvisa, he needs to express and verbalize it. Just merely being there is not enough. Says Rabbanon, no. Afilo teimer Rabbanon. Even if you'll say we're following shita of Rabbanon, it'll be okay. As long as he's out there and he's aware of what's going on, he can verbalize it if he wants to. He doesn't need to actually verbalize it. It's mutter, even according to Rabban. I feel ten Rabban ad kam loy pligi Rabban alei to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. It's only over there that the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Yechon. El biyashen, a person who's sleeping, delay motzi yomer, has no ability to speak. He's unaware. He's totally not cognizant of what's going on. Therefore, they hold he's not kind of shvisa. Aval ben Nir, the person who's actually awake, the boy meimar motzi yomer, if he would like, he can verbalize and express his intention. In this case, there's no need to actually verbalize it. Afgad lo yomer, even he didn't actually say it. Come on, the amar dami, we regard as though he said it, meaning as long as he's aware of what's going on, he's awake. He doesn't need to actually verbalize, and therefore, if he's allowed to do that, then there's no achana. Since he's only being present there without actually expressing it and saying it and verbalizing, designating it, there's no concern of achana. He can do that even on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. Amalei Rabba Barav Chanan Abai. Rabba Barav Chanan told Abai as follows. If Mar, the master, meaning Rabba, who introduced us to this concept of achana, that one cannot actually fashion an Erev on Yom Tov on Friday for the sake of tomorrow, for the sake of Shabbos, but he may personally go to the Erev site if he doesn't verbalize and express his intentions. Since he's not fashioning and designating anything, even though he's doing a preparatory act, that's okay, that's not called Achan. So Rabbi Rachana told Abai, if Rabbi would have heard the following brisa, which indicates that even that is Asa, one cannot even do a preparatory act, he would have changed his mind. Yeah, but Shmili Lamar had Sani the following brisa. One may not take a stroll to the edge of his field on Shabbos, to go examine the field's needs, what type of malacha is going to be needed tomorrow. He shouldn't do that, because he's preparing for malacha. Likewise, one should not take a stroll at the edge of the city, near the bathhouse, which will enable him to have access to the bathhouse right after Shabbos. Just as one can't do a malacha on Shabbos, he can't do an act of preparation of that for that malacha. So likewise, in the case of Achana, if creating, fashioning an Erev on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos is Asur, so even merely preparing that Erev through a low-level preparatory act, like going out to the Erev site, that's also Asur. It's a din d'rabban. One cannot prepare for Shabbos on Yom Tov. So if you would have heard that this Braisa Hadabai, you would have changed his mind. Says Amar Veloy, actually not so. Shmuel, he heard this braisa, he knew about this braisa, and he still didn't change his mind. Why? There's a big difference between both cases. Hasam muchach hamelsa. The case of the braisa is describing scenarios where it's pretty evident and obvious what he's trying to do. Why is he strolling around this field? Why is he standing at the edge of the city? It's pretty obvious that he's preparing for malacha, and therefore it's awesome. Hacha, however, in the case of the Erev, where he's strolling around in the wilderness, lav mucha milsa, lav mucha milsi. It's not evident and obvious what his intent is. Perhaps he's just taking a stroll. Itzu merabarnu, visit Talmud Chacham, Amrinan, people will say, Shmaita mashchas mishchase. His learning dragged him. He got overly involved in learning. V'yama Eretzu, if he's an Am Eretz who's going to make his Erev, Amrinan chamri chasle. People will say, well, he lost his donkey, and he's going to find his donkey. So since it's not something which is obviously related and linked to the creation of an Erev, for tomorrow, there's no concern whatsoever. Let's take a look at Rashi from the top line. Le'tayl Adam. V'shabas ha'biyantu v'samlach ha'sheicha, close to darkness. He shouldn't take a walk at Pesach Medina till the edge of the city. Till the sky v'lam merchats, get close to the bathhouse. Li'os mezuman li'kanis. V'shatechshach miyad, to be available, to enter right when it gets dark. Alma, apparently we see from here. Af agav, see the grade of it. He's simply just walking. He's not doing anything. V'lo yom armidi, he didn't verbalize anything. Aser, it's still aser, because he's preparing for something. Unsuitable. V'gabe erev, likewise by the erev, ibe diburav aser, if you would agree that speaking would be aser because he's fashioning the erev, it's considered to be mishum achana because he's preparing for the next day, b'shtikus anam ev aser, even if he does it silently, he's preparing for tomorrow. Says, what is the difference? In the case of the strollers, mucha milsa, the my boy b'sadeh, what's he doing by his field? Im loy leida ma'yitzricha, if not for the fact that he's coming to examine, and that's aser. V'rachmana amar mimtzei chevtzicha. One is not meant to be involved in his personal activities, his malachas, his weekday activities. V'chem Pesach HaMedina. Likewise, when he goes to the edge of the city to get to the bathhouse. Abol chutz li'ir adat chum. But if he's simply going out of the city to the boundary, lo'y mucha milsa, to la ruvi l'tzorech macha kazel, it's not obvious that he's going to prepare for tomorrow's erev. V'li maskin shedat tayu. People won't fathom that's his intent. Ella, itzum rabbanu, v'zitamot chacham, amrinan, shmaitem ashchasli. That his learning pulled him out. He's totally involved in learning, he's engrossed, and that's why he wandered that far. Or if he's not Ma'aretz, they'll say, Chamer Ichasle. His donkey got lost, V'azel Yuni, he's going to find the donkey. Afilu b'Shabbos. Mutal Hashivim Teichat Chum Lebeisai. That's allowed even on Shabbos. One's allowed to bring back his donkey. Therefore, that's allowed. Avo mida da'azel imevet b'Shabbos. But something which a person cannot do on Shabbos, certainly, Asule lezmuni nafsha umidi. Certainly one cannot prepare himself for that matter. But that's only if it's obvious and it's evident that he's going to do that. But something which can be interpreted merely as a person taking a walk, looking for his donkey, or overly engrossed in his learning. In which case, it's not clear and evident that he's preparing for tomorrow's Erev. In this case, it would be Imut. So in summary, Rabbi told us about the concept of Achana. So if you had an egg that was born, that was laid on Yom Tov, you can't eat it tomorrow on Shabbos because it was prepared on a non-weekday, and the food that's going to be eaten on Shabbos and Yom Tov needs to be prepared on an ordinary weekday. We learned that the Erev, which is establishing on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos, doesn't really involve any concern, because the activation of the Erev, the kinyan of the Erev, for the sake of the next day, gets activated the second phase of Ben Hashmashes, which is the commencement of that second day. We learned that if a person brings back that bread that he used for the first day, and he puts it back in the Erev location for the sake of the second day, there's no concern because he's not actually verbalizing anything. He's just placing the bread down and keeping quiet. Likewise, if he personally goes out to the Erev site for the second day and does so silently, there's no concern because, once again, he's not designating, he's not verbalizing anything. And since he's only doing it quietly, and as the Mor concluded, there's nothing that's making it obvious to anybody that he's doing it for the sake of the Erev, there's no concern about Hachana whatsoever. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We discussed a case where Yom Tov is adjacent to Shabbos. Rav Leza says Shabbos and Yom Tov are two kedushas, therefore he can place an erev for Shabbos and an erev for Yom Tov in two different directions. If his erev was consumed on the first day, it's no longer valid for the second day. He must make sure that the erev is present for the second day as well. According to the Chumim, they have a suffix whether Shabbos and Yom Tov are one or two kedushas, and therefore they say like this. We always go to Chumrah. One cannot split them. You can't place an Erev on one day in one direction and the other day in the other direction, because perhaps they're one Kedusha, they're one continuous entity. And they also go to Chumrah in the other halacha. If the Erev that was placed at the location for the first day has been consumed, it cannot apply for the second day, because perhaps Shabbos and are two Kedushas, and therefore the Erev must be present on the second day as well. Rabbi introduces us to the concept of Achana, which applies either if it's something being created on one day for the next, or if something which is obvious and evident, but otherwise, it would be mutter.